All right. Turn with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. And so this is the last epistle that Peter's going to write. He knows he is going to die soon, and he's writing to people that are in what we know as Turkey, Asia Minor. And these are people that didn't grow up Jewish. And we saw the thesis statement last week, but let's read it again this week. 2 Peter 1:12. He said, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it's right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you." So Peter referred to being alive as in this tent. He referred to death as being out of the tent, all right? You could put that on the next funeral announcement that you have in your family, okay? It would be completely biblical, all right? "Knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." So he's thinking about these people that he cares about, that he wants them to know certain things because he's going to be gone and he's writing them down. So you're going to have a record of this, that I don't have to physically be with you, but there's things that are important to God that I want to make sure you get and that you maintain in your life. And what we're going to see today is he's going to take the entire second chapter to warn them. To warn them about false teachers. And the warning that he gives to them is many of that, of those warnings are verbatim in the Jude. It's a one chapter book of the Bible. Paul, in his writings, in almost every epistle, he warns about false teachers. And if the New Testament is so strong about that, do you think it's a big deal? It is a big deal. So false teachers, both in who they are and in their character and their lifestyle and also in their content, still roam among us today, don't they? All right, so this is going to be an important warning for our safety, okay? And you'll see how Peter does that. Now, he kind of introduces this, if you look in 2 Peter 1:16. He said, "For we were not making up clever stories." Another translation says fables. "We were not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Okay, so that has been, it was at that time and has been a claim for 2,000 years, is that the disciples of Jesus just made it up, that Jesus was raised from the dead. That this was just a clever fable, a story. But what he's saying is, no, I was there. I was an eyewitness. And that's one of the greatest things about what we have in our New Testament, is the people that are writing about Jesus, they saw him. All right. They were witnesses to his life. You and I are not eyewitnesses, but we have the account of those who were there. All right. Those of you who are lawyers or in the legal profession, how many of you know the witness of someone who was there is strong as far as evidence in court? Well, God understood that, and so he gave us these eyewitnesses, our Bible. All right, so he says, "I didn't make this up. These are not clever stories. We saw his majestic splendor with our own eyes." And then he's referring to the Mount of Transfiguration, where he went with James and John and Jesus. And Jesus was transfigured, this kind of preview of coming attraction of the glory of God on his life. And this is when Peter, he didn't put it here, but he said, "It's nice that we are here. Let's build some tents." And then God shut down the glory. Maybe because of Peter's comments, we don't exactly know. All right. But he was saying, I remember it. I was there when he received honor and glory from God the Father, the voice from the majestic glory of God, and said to him, "This is my dearly loved son, who brings me great joy. We ourselves heard that voice from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. So again, he's saying, I didn't make this up, but I saw Jesus. I am authorized to say what I'm saying to you, that becomes our scripture. And then he says in verse 19, because of this experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. What is he referring to? He's talking about the Old Testament, okay, from Genesis to Malachi. All right, so the message proclaimed by the prophets. All right, so this is not a guy on a YouTube channel who's telling you about the next election somewhere. Oh, Lord, deliver us. Amen. But he's saying you need to have confidence in the scripture. You need to have confidence in the word of God. You must pay close attention to what they wrote. For their words, the Bible, scripture, is like a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and Christ, the morning star, shines in your hearts. Okay, so the word of God, and the word of God refers to itself this way, that it is light. It is light in the dark. Okay, so Peter is saying, pay close attention to the scripture. Okay, close attention. So notice Peter is not writing to pastors. He's not writing to theologians. He's writing to believers. So you as a believer have a responsibility to know the scripture and to pay close attention to it. Now, do you remember that in the book of Acts, Paul, he was always traveling, going, establishing churches, and he went to a place called Berea, and they heard Paul and they loved his teaching. But what they would do is after they would hear Paul, they would fact check Paul. Paul the apostle, Paul who had a revelation of Jesus. I mean, Paul is amazing. But what they would do is they hear, because he would use the Old Testament to explain the gospel. Okay, if you look at the book of Romans, all these things. So what they would do is they would go back to the scripture they had, the Old Testament, and they would see if what Paul said was correct. They would see if what Paul said was correct. All right. Now, I want to say something here, and please don't hear me wrong. Okay. But the Reformation, we are in this room, we're Protestants. I'm Miracle Life, myself, my wife, we are not anti-Catholic. All right. But one of the heritages of being a Protestant is that the Word of God is above human opinion. It is above papal decrees. Okay. Let me give you an example. I don't know if you saw in the news last couple of weeks. And this, I welcome this. This was a great article. I'm so glad it happened. But the Catholic Church, Roman Catholic Church, said, a bunch of theologians got together and said that Mary, the mother of Jesus, is not the co-redeemer of mankind. Okay, so that's good. That's good. All right, so these were officials that said that. But do you know that there are 10-year-olds at MKIDS that could tell you the same thing? Why? Because the word of God says so. It is only the blood of Jesus that redeems us. It is only the blood of Jesus and his work that makes a difference in our life. There's one, not two, one mediator between God and man. All right. Jesus said, when I go, here's how you're going to pray. You're not going to ask me things anymore. But you're going to ask the Father. You mean directly? You go to the Father directly? Yes. You go to the Father in my name. Well, I thought we have to pray through Mary. Says nowhere in Scripture. All right, so what this is that you need to be acquainted with Scripture so that, and Martin Luther put it this way, anyone with a Bible can tell the Pope he's wrong. Today, and again, I'm thankful for good things that are happening in the Catholic Church, in the Catholics in Zambia, all right, and Alpha Course, and tons of awesome things, all right. But the thing is if you're watching a goofy prophet on a YouTube channel, and you've got your Bible, you can just say, you're wrong. You're wrong. Okay? A few weeks ago, there was somebody that made a pronouncement in our country that it's okay to commit adultery as long as you've told your wife about it. Okay? Well, Pastor, you didn't say anything. I don't need to say anything. Just pick up your Bible, read it, and realize that he's wrong. It's not a pastoral decree that you need. Any believer who is acquainted with Scripture would say, that is nonsense. That is ridiculous. There is no scriptural support for that in any way. Okay? And so you need to be biblically educated. So every day be feeding on the Word of God. The Bible calls itself the bread of life. Okay, and we think of a loaf of bread, right? Well, the bread of life was what you ate every day. If Jesus lived in Lusaka, he would have said the enshima of life. Okay, that's what he would have said. Okay, meaning it's not a luxury. Okay, he wasn't referring to the prawns of life. Most of us don't eat prawns every day. It's for special occasions, all right? I wish I could. All right, but are you hearing me? Are you hearing what Peter is saying? Okay, so pay careful attention to what they said, okay? Their words are like a lamp. It shines. Verse 20, above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding. Okay, so Scripture that we have was not man-made or from human initiative. No, these prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God. All right, the Greek talks about that the Word of God is God-breathed. All right, so it is Word of God. Now, Satan knows this, so he will always attack the Word of God. Okay, what did he do with Eve? What was his opening line? Did God really say? Okay, what was his technique with Jesus? Is he twisted Scripture? He misapplied Scripture. Okay, he took it out of context to make it sound like what it was. And so what was Jesus' answer to Satan's temptation? Scripture, the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. We overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Okay, so the Word of God is great that it's on paper. It's great that it's in your cell phone, but it needs to be in your heart, it needs to be written on your mind, and it needs to be coming out of your mouth. All right? So Eve didn't do well. She didn't know the Scripture as she should have, and her husband who was with her, the Bible says he was right there, he was with her, what did he say? Nothing. Nothing. He just watched his wife getting beat up by the snake. All right. You want to eat of the tree? Oh, okay. I'll eat of the tree. All right. Spiritually passive men is the curse of our world for 6,000 years. Ladies, don't say amen too loud. Amen. Okay. Now you can say amen. All right. So the word of God, Peter, this is what Peter appeals to pay close attention to. Now he gets into these warnings about false teachers. Okay. Now, let me warn you that as we get into chapter 2, he uses strong language. Brute beasts, he calls these guys. All right. Clouds with no rain. Okay. So whenever the Bible is strong, let it be strong. Don't try to, Peter was, he was concerned. No, he was upset. And he's never going to see these people again. So he is writing with strong language to get this in their hearts. Okay, so you and I need to understand. So how are we going to apply this stern warning that we get? All right, 2 Peter 1, verse 1. So he's talking about the prophets that wrote the Old Testament. All right, but there were also false prophets among the people. Scripture talks about those. All right. Even as there will be false teachers among you. Just look at your neighbor and raise your eyebrows. Okay. Among you. Among you. You mean among us? Yes, among us. Among us. Okay. There will be false teachers among you. So these are not Satanists. Okay. These are people that look like Christians. Maybe they were Christians, he indicates later. Okay. But they're among us who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. Now that's strong language, isn't it? So a heresy is something that is, this is not just a little disagreement. Okay. But this is, it's a departure from Scripture. And what's the result of it? It's destructive. Even denying the Lord who bought them and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many, everybody say many. Many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, now he begins to kind of unpack their motives. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. All right, now, so these false teachers among us in 2025, it's easier to find them because of bundles, social media, Google, YouTube, Christian TV. All right. And there's some Christian TV I use inverted commas, Christian TV. Okay. Not all Christian. I think some is good, but some is not good. All right. So in that day and age, you had to kind of see them. They had to be in your midst. Okay. Or someone heard them and then influences you. Now you can find a false teacher in 5 seconds. In 5 seconds. And false teachers have slick media. All right. It looks good. All right. They're lights that make it all fancy and awesome. All right. And you say, well, Pastor, they had a big crowd. It was 80,000 people in Johannesburg. Time out. What does it say? Many will follow their destructive ways. Okay, so the size of the crowd is not an indicator of the truth. Let me say that again. The size of the crowd is not an indicator of the truth. Okay? There are a few people here at Miracle Life today. May I look, maybe 1,800. All right? Just because we have people here doesn't mean it's awesome. You've got to go home from Miracle Life and say, wait a second. I'm like the Bereans. I'm going to check up on what Pastor Walker was saying today. Using what? Using the word. Well, but there's a lot of car people in the car park. Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Why does the path to destruction? Why does the path to destruction? Okay. All right. So, it's easier to find them. Now, let me caution you. All right. This is talking about people who have destructive heresies. Okay. So this is important, severe stuff. Okay. He listed one of them. Denying Jesus, denying the lordship of Jesus, denying the person of Jesus. Any teacher or cult that says that Jesus is not God or he was created, he's less than God. That is a destructive heresy. And I don't care if they have full color comic books. If the doctrine is denying Jesus as God, the second person of the Trinity, who was with God in the beginning, all right, that is a destructive heresy. Let me say what, in my opinion, is a non-destructive heresy. Okay, so among our evangelical circles, there would be some. So among Miracle Life and virtually all Pentecostals, we would see scripture talking about women Christian leaders in the New Testament that were anointed, that spoke, that had positions of authority, okay, even an apostle, all right? We would see things like that he'll pour out his spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will do what? Prophecy, speak, all right? There would be others who would see some scriptures to say, we don't think women should speak among a congregation of men and women. Okay. Now, why do they believe that? Not because they're anti-woman. They just see certain scriptures that way. All right. My opinion is that's not a destructive heresy. That's a disagreement among believers. Are you following me? Okay. So if someone, and I've got friends who believe that, teach that, follow that, I don't think that they're brute beasts. Okay. I just think we have a disagreement. They see scripture a certain way. We see it a different way. So are you following me there? Because there are interpretive. So is the rapture going to happen before the tribulation, in the middle of the tribulation, after the tribulation, or is there no rapture at all? Okay. Miracle Life, most Pentecostals, we believe that Jesus is coming back. He's going to catch us away in the air, and then the tribulation will come. All right. Somebody who doesn't believe that, I don't think it's a destructive heresy. Okay. It's a disagreement among believers. Okay. Now, it may mean that, we might not be able to serve at the same church. Okay. But it doesn't mean I despise you or hate you. Okay. Amen. All right. So many will follow their destructive ways. So one of the things you can see is there's fruit. There's fruit of these heresies. There's fruit of these false teachers, is that there is a wake of destruction. There's a wake of ruined lives. And oh my, have I seen that sad, sad thing. Now, so here Peter is saying that because of their deception and their heart and their covetousness, that God will judge them. All right. And then from verse 4 to verse 9, he gives us examples that God judges people. All right. So he judged the angels. He judged the evil people in the day of Noah. He judged Sodom and Gomorrah. And so he's saying, false teachers, he's coming for you. All right. He has a certain set of skills. This is exactly what he's saying. Okay. So the warning is, God really takes this seriously. So much so that they're in trouble before God. Now, the rest of the chapter, what he does, Peter says, there's two areas that you and I should look for if we're realizing, okay, is this a destructive heresy? Is this a teacher that I need to not have in my life, that I need to turn the channel, that I need to unsubscribe from their YouTube channel, right? So there are two ways to judge their character and their content. Character and content. So he starts off with character. So in 2 Peter 2 verse 10, and he says, especially those, speaking of these false teachers, those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Whereas angels who are greater in power and might do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. But these, like natural brute beasts. Okay. I don't know. And we've got quite a few brute beasts in Zambia. All right. But like natural brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed. All right. So if, you know, if there was a hyena that had come into the village and it was taking out cattle and taking out chickens, what are you going to do with that brute beast? You're going to go kill it and bury it. That's what he's saying. These are destructive people. All right. Speak evil of things they do not understand. They will utterly perish in their own corruption and will receive the wages of unrighteousness. As those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you. Here's this with you, among you, right? Having eyes full of adultery and cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. Oh, Peter, come on, just tell us what you really think, okay? Now, please understand, this is the Holy Ghost, isn't it? The Holy Spirit is calling them accursed children. The Holy Spirit is calling them a brute beast that needs to be killed and buried, okay? They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, forsaking the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest. Okay, so clouds that don't rain, a well, a borehole with no water. What does that mean? Useless. Useless. Okay. They might look, might kind of have a show of something, but they don't produce. For whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever? Ay, ay, ay. Big deal. All right. So should these people be preaching to you on your TV set? No. So you need to run away from this type of stuff. Okay, now, he talks about a couple things here as far as character. So this is a good indicator, all right? It says that they have a heart trained in covetousness, meaning they love stuff. They love things. They love money. And they will do things as a result to get it, all right? And it talks about the way of Balaam. Balaam was a prophet in the Old Testament that was, he took money, he was hired by Balak, the king, to a foreign king to try to curse Israel. And he took the money to prophesy. Okay? Anyone who tries to charge you for prayers is someone who is in the way of Balaam. Run, don't walk from their meetings. Run, don't walk from their influence. They'll use this line, no one comes to the man of God with empty hands. I hope I never hear anyone say that in my presence, because I don't know if I could restrain myself. Every single person that came to Jesus for healing and forgiveness came with empty hands. No money was ever transacted. Ever. To in exchange for a blessing, in exchange for the anointing. In the book of Acts, the apostles go down to Samaria where Philip the evangelist had a crusade. And there was great joy in the city. They followed Jesus, but they went down and said, we want to lay hands on you to receive the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All right, so Peter, and the very same Peter, goes with John. They lay hands on them. They receive the Holy Spirit. Simon is a believer. He just got saved, but he was a witch doctor. All right. Witch doctors exchange power for money. Okay. So he sees the power through the laying on of hands, and he says to Peter, how can I buy this? How much? I would like this power too. All right. And Peter said, one translation says, to hell with you and your money. God forbid. And here's the language that Peter uses there, is he says, you think that the gift of God, everybody say gift, can be purchased with money. The gift of God cannot be purchased with money. Now, since we're having church history today a little bit, that is what started the Reformation. Is that there was somebody going around for a building campaign saying your relatives are in purgatory. Purgatory, what's that? Oh yeah, nowhere in the Bible is there purgatory. But anyway, people believed in purgatory because they couldn't read the Bible for themselves. It was forbidden for the Bible to be in vernacular. That's why it was called the Dark Ages, because all of us were in the dark. Okay? And so they said, if you give money to the building fund, you can get your relatives out of purgatory. And thank God, a Bible-believing Catholic priest named Martin Luther said, no, no, you cannot buy the favor of God with money. We are, and that, and they said, the just shall live by faith. And that's where we get these things that it, we are saved by grace alone, faith alone. We have the scriptures that tell us the authority. Scripture alone gives us the wisdom and the help that we need. All right. So never, ever, ever buy anointed oil, anointed water. Don't ever buy it. Don't ever use it, even if it's for free. Okay, it is rife among our city, in our nation. Okay, how can someone buy anointed oil or anointed water? There's two conditions. One is desperate situation. I really want God to come through. Secondly is biblical ignorance. When both of those are together, then these brute beasts in their covetous ways run amok. They run amok, okay? And they are among us. Now, this doesn't mean you have to go burn down their house, okay? It just means avoid them. Warn your relatives. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing the word of God? Okay? Those who charge for prayers or the anointing are brute beasts. They are clouds without water. Okay, they are to be shunned and avoided at all costs. Run away and don't look back. Do you follow me? You don't buy what God has provided for free. And what you're doing is when you are paying for prayers or paying for the anointing or paying for water and oil, what you are doing is you are spitting on the blood of Jesus. Because the blood of Jesus, you were not purchased. The same Peter said, you were not purchased with perishable things like gold and silver, but with the precious blood of Jesus. The blood that poured out of the Son of God, who had never done anything wrong, who sacrificed his life for us. And I honor the blood. I speak high of the blood. Because the blood of Jesus speaks of things better for me. Oh, and it's purchased my redemption. I cannot add to the blood of Jesus. I just fall down with a humble heart and say, God, thank you. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for what you've provided for me. I was talking to a young man yesterday who is a new Christian. We were talking on a video call. And I said, how you doing? And he said, better than I deserve. Excellent answer. Excellent answer. Well, how did God move in your life? Oh, he's done better than I deserve. But he counted me worthy. He made me a son. He adopted me into the family. And so I'm going to act like a son because I am a son. Amen. No need to pay. No need to pay for what is already free. Amen. Now, so there is the content, or sorry, there's the character of these people that is suspect. All right. And he talks about, hey, are we out of time already? I rebuke that clock in Jesus' name. So there's, and he talks about covetousness and he talks about sexual immorality. All right. And these are two things that plague false teachers, that prey on other people. There was a church in Atlanta in the 90s, and a huge, huge church, way bigger than Miracle Life. And all of their associates had this scheme going on, is that they would counsel women by themselves, close the door, which we don't do at Miracle Life, and then they would tell these women that my wife, you know, there's such an anointing on my life, there's such a power on my life, that my wife can't satisfy all of my needs, and so God's called you to help satisfy my sexual needs. And they were running a complete racket of sexual immorality. Brute beasts that should be shot and killed. All right? I didn't say it. Peter said it. Peter said it. They should be destroyed. And now, not by us, but what God is saying, I will sort them out. Okay, God's the, aren't you glad God's the judge and we're not the judge? Okay. All right. But he also says, be careful of their content. Be careful of their content. 2 Peter 2:18. They brag about themselves with empty, foolish boasting. Oh my gosh. Boy, do we have braggarts today. With an appeal to be appeal to twisted sexual desires. They lure back into sin those who have barely escaped from a lifestyle of deception. They promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves of sin and corruption. For you are a slave to whatever controls you. I've mentioned to you that when we were in South Africa, this was somebody we knew, somebody that was among us, that we had done ministry in another city with. When I knew him, he was a good, decent guy. Well, he was not married very long and he was frustrated with his wife. And so he came up with this weird idea that my wife and I are not sexually compatible, whatever that means. Okay. Probably just means you need to go buy a good Christian book on how you can bless each other when the bedroom door is closed. Hello? Okay. And you can learn how to bless each other. All right. I'll just leave it right there. Okay. So he decides, well, we're not sexually compatible. So he divorces his wife, and then he finds some immature young girl who he thinks he is sexually compatible with. And then he's a pastor. So he begins to tell, go to Merge and tell all the young guys, sleep with your girlfriend before you get married. Don't make the mistake I made. Okay? This is what this is talking about. An appeal to twisted sexual desires. They lure back into sin those who have barely escaped from a lifestyle of deception. That it's literally what happened in that city. Can I tell you, the dude's not married. The dude is not leading a church. The dude is not following Jesus. All right. And any of those young guys could have just said, hey, pastor, you're out of your mind. And have a nice life. This is the last 10 seconds I will ever set foot in this God-forsaken church. Bye-bye. Because God has forsaken them. Because they have forsaken God. Do you follow me? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's keep reading. Verse 20. For if, after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment. Notice that. That's at the heart of false teaching. Is you turn from the Bible. You turn away from the commandment. Okay? And at 58 years old, I wish I hadn't seen this, but I just keep seeing it over and over again. Different denominations, different churches, different styles, where people, again, not a disagreement over scripture, but they just turn away from the ways of God. Turn away from what God says. All right? They turn away, verse 22, but it has happened to them according to the true proverb, and this is a proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire. So along with being a brute beast, what are these people? Dogs that eat vomit, and pigs that wallow in manure. Okay? So you say, pastor, whoa, that's pretty serious. Mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. If we can hear from Peter today, from the Holy Spirit, to say, whoa, I didn't know that God is so worked up about this. He is. So what that means, folks, is we have to be careful. We have to be careful. When you and I go to a grocery store, the food, more or less, is stuff we can eat, right? Somebody has inspected it. There's rules, there's regulations, okay? And it's pretty much safe for human consumption. But when you begin to just go to conferences and YouTube and all these different things, you've got to be aware. Some of this is poisonous. Some of this will destroy your soul. It will destroy your marriage. It will destroy your family. And I've seen it, and we do not want that for you. Okay, so the answer is not just, well, what does Miracle Life say? Well, who knows? In 60 years, maybe Miracle Life might have brute beasts. I don't know. Okay? But you need to pay attention to Scripture, know it for yourself, and then you decipher everything to say, no. I don't, that's not right. And this one over here, that's not just not right. That is a deceptive, that is a destructive heresy. And I got to get out of here. Amen? Hide your women and children and find safety of Scripture. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord. Whenever you warn us, it's because you love us so much. And Father, thank you that you moved on Peter before he died, before he gave his life for his faith in you, that you moved on him in such a strong and a remarkable way, and that now we, 2,000 years later, we have this same warning And God, we realize that these brute beasts are still around, God. The deception is still here. So, Father, keep us safe by helping us to understand your word well for ourselves. Father, I thank you for each and every one in this place, Lord, that you would help us to know scripture for ourselves, to be well acquainted with you and your ways and your word, so that, Father, we can spot a pig. We can spot a dog, a brute beast, a deceptive heresy, something that's going to destroy lives. And Father, we can be aware, steer clear, and help other people to steer clear. Father, so that we can have your light and your love and the pure milk of the Word of God that we can grow thereby. Father, thank you so much that we'll stick with you, we'll stick with your Word, Father, and we'll love you for the rest of our days. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here in this place and you say, Pastor Walker, I am not yet in the family of God. I've tried different things. I've tried religion. There's talks about people who were in their deceptive ways. Pastor, I'm still in my deceptive ways. And my life is a mess, and I need help, and I need Jesus. Well, friend, the good news is that Jesus died for you. You were included in his amazing payment of his own life. For God so loved the world, you're in that world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not have to perish, but have everlasting life. And friend, you, everlasting life can start today. This Sunday can be the beginning of everlasting life for your life. You receive Jesus by faith. Not something I do, but something you do. Not something your mom or your friend does, but something you do. You say, Jesus, save me, wash me, cleanse me. And he'll do just that because he's faithful. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I saw in that text today about those who have turned away. God, we warned about those who've fallen away. God, I think that's me. And I need to come home. Friend, you can. The prodigal son made his way home, and his father received him, welcomed him, gave him a brand new life. And if that's you today, you can come home to a Jesus who loves you. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I want to receive Jesus. I want him to be the Lord and Savior of my life. I need to come home from a faraway place. If that's you, raise up your hand real, real high. Raise up your hand real, real high and say, that's me. I want to be saved. I want to be born again. I want to know him. Anyone at all. Anyone at all, if that's you. Oh, he loves you. Thank you over here. God bless you. Thank you over here in the back. Thank you. Anyone else? Say, that's me, Pastor. I want to be a follower of Jesus, for him to be the king over my life. Before we pray, anyone else? All right. Just say this with me. Say, God. Say it out loud. Say, God, I believe that you love me. You sent Jesus to die in my place. He was punished for my sin, and you raised him from the dead. Jesus, forgive me. Wash me on the inside. I turn from every sin right now, and I turn to you to follow you, your ways, and your word. Jesus, be the king over my life. Thank you, Jesus, that you bring me into your family. In your name I pray. Amen. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your help. Thank you for your grace to live it out in our lives. We love you. We're dismissed in your power, in your grace, in your favor. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you. You are dismissed.